Without some historical and theological background, the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins can be really difficult to understand. That's why we're tackling it today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us on our radio program. I'm really excited that you've joined us today because we are right in the middle of a great series about Jesus's parables. These parables are often misunderstood, which is why we want to explain them clearly. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to lead our discussion today. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
And we are going through some of Jesus' parables, and we're going to be in Matthew today. Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
The reason it's called wise and foolish is because there's two separate groups of female virgins. Five of them prove to be wise, and five of them prove to be foolish. We should understand this within the context of a Jewish wedding. A Jewish wedding, they would have dancers that would have a dance they used to call a torch dance. So they would carry these torches, and so when the bride...
That doesn't sound like a good thing to dance with. A bunch of people with
they
torches.
They had a lot of fire. A lot of people got burned.
I just don't think that's a good idea.
Forget the basic historical background. I don't think what we should think of is Aladdin's lamp, and you've got people walking around with a little lamp lit up. Instead, this is probably a torch.
Like but if Daphne had a torch and she's dancing around with it?
Your house
that whole
would
village would be gone.
Gone.
It'd just be gone.
No, these were probably like 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 14-year-olds, something like that. Now, they married young, so theoretically, I suppose this could have even been 13-year-olds, but these were unmarried women, but they weren't 5 and 6 years old.
I mean, do they have licenses for these torches?
No, this was before the days when you had all the civil lawsuits and everything.
All right, well, in chapter 25, Jesus
now
says...
Now our time to
yeah, time is up. All right. Okay. Thanks for tuning in. Chapter 25 says, Jesus is speaking. He says, then the kingdom of heaven, let's just stop there. So what kingdom is this?
Okay, he's talking about ultimately the coming kingdom of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign on earth, followed by the eternal state on the new earth. And this is the time period leading up to the millennium.
All right. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom.
Okay. So I would say torch is better, but lamps are torches and they're going out to meet the bridegroom.
Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. So there's 2 groups.
Right.
Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
Okay, now, because later on their lamps are burning, we know there's oil. And what we should probably think of is a torch where the top of it is soaked in oil, and it's going to burn for a certain length of time before the oil burns up. But you've needed a supplement of oil so that you can keep it burning as the oil that's already in the rags or whatever is burning.
Are they pouring oil on these flames? Such a bad idea.
Okay. This isn't like lighter.
Here, little girl, here's a thing of oil. Just... Try to put it on this torch without burning yourself.
Let's just keep going. We're going to get there somehow.
Or maybe they're all foolish virgins. I don't know. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, so they don't have any reserves.
Right.
But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
So they've got the lamps and they've got vessels that have extra oil.
All right. So they do have
and
vessels.
And this is all figurative, Sean, so you shouldn't be thinking so literally
Okay. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept.
Okay, now we're thinking of Jesus, the delay between his first coming and his second coming. And so we're in this time period between the two. And specifically, what the Lord's going to be looking at here is called the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7-year tribulation period. The church is gone. These are probably, we're thinking here, of Jewish people during the tribulation. And 5 of them are going to have the oil they need to make it through to the end, to endure to the end, and 5 aren't. And probably the oil looks at spiritual strength and spiritual reserves.
So why is this in the tribulation? Because it says he's delayed. There's no delay in the tribulation, though.
Well, the delay would be this long period of time between the first coming and second coming. However, there is a delay during the tribulation in the sense that when someone comes to faith in Christ during the first half of the tribulation, the Lord is not going to come back immediately.
Right.
There's 7 years that has to take place, and the second half is probably the worst time in all of human history.
Okay.
It's called the Great Tribulation. They're living in this time where the first 3.5 are bad, but the second 3.5 are worse. And so the delaying in the coming simply means he's not coming back today, tomorrow, the next day. We've got this time that has to be fulfilled.
All right. Verse 6. And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.
Okay, now when it says they all slumbered, it means they were all in a position where they weren't sure exactly when this midnight cry was going to happen. I think the midnight cry looks at the abomination of desolation that takes place at the midpoint of the tribulation. You'll remember that Jesus had said, if you're on the rooftop, just depart. Go for the caves, go for the mountains, and get out. If you're in the house, just leave. Don't pack up. This is a situation where, even though it's 3.5 years before the bridegroom comes, this is the time at which they go out to him and depart. Now, they need to have developed sufficient strength in the first part of the tribulation to be able to handle the second half, and I think that'll come out in the verses which follow.
Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Trimmed their lamps, basically meaning they've got them burning, they've got them going.
And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself."
This is puzzling for people, but from a dispensational perspective, what the Lord is teaching here is that the foolish ones should have had forethought to the fact that the second half of the tribulation is coming. We need to develop spiritual strength to handle the trials to come. Instead, they were complacent. They didn't develop the strength they needed. They didn't, you know, figuratively speaking, have the oil. And so when they say go buy some for yourself, well, that's an impossibility. They're not going to be able to buy this. They haven't developed it.
So typically oil often represents the Holy Spirit. Is that kind of what you're thinking about?
That is.
Because you don't want to say that, you know, we need to be strong all on our own. That's not what God is calling us to here.
The spiritual reserves come through the Spirit of God working in our lives. And in the tribulation saints, they too will need the Spirit of God to work through them. But it's based on taking in the Word of God. So be transformed by the renewing of your minds will be true then,
right,
too.
So it's kind of like what Paul would say elsewhere, you know, it's possible to quench the Spirit, or it's also possible to be filled with the Spirit. So in the tribulation, there are believers who can do both.
Right.
So how can they go out and buy, sell and buy? What does that mean?
Well, they really can't. If this is dealing with the tribulation, people who haven't taken the mark of the beast, which these people won't have, I take it all 10 represent believers because they're called virgins. It would make no sense to call an unbeliever a virgin. Besides, all 10 anticipate the Lord's soon return, and all 10 are in a position to participate in this torch dance, which I think illustrates ruling with Christ in the life to come. I think the point is they're not going to be able to buy any oil, just like they won't be able to buy things on the common market. They're going to be in hiding and that sort of thing.
All right, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you."
He doesn't know them as one of the people who is going to participate in this festivity, the torch dance. It's not that he doesn't know who they are. Obviously, he's omniscient. It's not that they're not born again. The issue is they are excluded from this privileged experience.
So verse 13, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming."
Right. I think
now, that's
verse
a different
13
coming,
is ultimately looking to our age. because this same word is gregoreo, and it was used back in chapter 24 at the end of the chapter about being watchful and being Gregory Christians. The idea here, I think, is he's applying this to people in the church age. Now, it also would apply to tribulation saints, but they really will be able to know when he's coming. I mean, once the abomination of desolation appears, it's going to be 3.5 years, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe this is looking at believers during the church age basically saying, we don't know the hour or the day when he's coming, so we need to be watchful. But the application is more or less the same for the tribulation saints. They need to develop their spiritual reserves. I kind of think of it this way, Sean. When you're young like you are, you're developing the strength you're going to need when you're in your 50s, 60s, and 70s, or 80s, or 90s. And so all of us are given an opportunity, in most cases at least. The Lord allows us time to develop spiritual strength, endurance. We learn this when we're young believers so that when we're older believers, we have the strength to handle the cancer. We have the strength to handle the broken hip. We have the strength to handle all the aches and pains we have, the death of a spouse. We develop the strength we need to handle those things as we walk with the Lord over time.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion and explanation about the wise and the foolish virgins. That was an episode that was a lot of fun, but also very insightful. Did you enjoy this episode? I hope you did. And if you did, I'd like to encourage you to take a step and go a little deeper. One way to do that is to get involved with our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. One of the things that I love to tell people about is our magazine that carries the same name as this radio show, Grace and Focus. Grace and Focus magazine is this beautiful, full-color, wonderfully laid-out magazine that covers the same kind of topics that we talk about on the show. It comes out 6 times a year, and you can have it completely free, no obligation. We also have teaching videos on the website. You can get at our podcast, which has a full archive of all our previous shows. We have free ebooks. I can't even list all the things that we have for free available for you. It's all designed and engineered to help you grow and mature spiritually. So I hope that you'll show up at faithalone.org and take advantage of those resources. Now, in addition to this, you might feel led to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. And if that's the case, not only would we very much appreciate it, but it will help us to continue doing the work that we're already doing, getting this clear teaching out to the world. You can find out how to do that by going to faithalone.org, click on the button that says donate. Maybe this episode brought up some questions for you. If that's the case, then great. We love questions, feedback, and comments. I'm going to give you our email address because I want to hear from you. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the program, we're going to talk about the parable of the talents. It's going to be interesting, so tune in. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.